Dear citizens of the world, I'm Padmini Arhant, author and presenter, PadminiArhant.com, spouse in divine mission. I welcome you all to the topic on harassment. As I mentioned in the earlier segment, harassment is not necessarily confined to sexual harassment. Harassment is diverse. Harassment can be in any different manner, format, means, and that is what I'm about to explain to you. I hope you can join me. Harassment, as I just said, is an epidemic, and this is not something that has emerged all of a sudden. This has been prevalent since, I guess, evolution, I might add, for there has always been conflict that has existed ever since human beings have come into existence. And when conflicts are there, then one can imagine that harassment is going to be a dominant feature. Harassment is, in a way, aggression. Now, when you think about it, those who harass others, they are trying to display their power, not necessarily courage, for I think the harassers, the bullies are, they are by nature, they are cowards, they are not very strong people, they are fairly insecure, and they exert their dominance or they display their superiority by intimidating others and whoever they think is a fair target. And that is what makes them feel that they are powerful than others, they are more dominant by nature, and they just prey on people whom they think are a fair game. When I talk about harassment, a lot of things come to my mind. Harassment sometimes starts very early at a young age for some, and for others, they develop this nature at some point in their life. But when I talk about the early syndromes of harassment, I would say the best example is the sandbox in kindergarten. You might have seen kids playing in the sandbox in the kindergarten, and there are some who would just go and take toys from other kids or push other kids down and make them cry and stuff that, you know, you see sometimes children doing to others. And, you know, in a way, the ones who behave like that towards kids who are just not so aggressive or mischievous, as one might say, that is something that, you know, that would be noticed. And then these are, you know, sometimes early symptoms of aggression having that complex that, hey, you know, I'm a strong kid and I'm going to, you know, make you do what I want you to do and stuff like that. So, and this is something that some, as kids, they have that problem, and then it might dissipate later on at some stage in their life. If it happens, it's well and good for them and for their parents as well. But then those who have difficulty in abandoning this trait, say this particular characteristic of troubling people or taking advantage of anyone, you know, they think is a fair target. In a way, harassment for harassers become a part and parcel of their personality. And for some, it is hard to renounce that habit, behavior, and they continue into adulthood. Had they developed this at a young age and the parents have not disciplined them at the right time, that has grown into a problem beyond control, then needless to say, you know, they become the real bullies, the school bullies, and then they go on to be the bullies at workplace, and then in life, personal life, whoever is around them, they tend to be more assertive, very aggressive towards them. And this is how the personality disorder comes into play for them. And when they are assigned or designated to jobs in workplace where they are a part of the decision-making process, they also tend to be more self-centered and they are not very considerate, and they may not really think carefully about consequences and so on. So that is also a major a problem in contemporary affairs, where you see policies and strategies devised by them are indicative of not being very flexible. They have their own agenda and not taking into account the ramifications and so on. So this is what I mean, you know, when I talk about harassment. Harassment today is more focused on sexual harassment, and I will for sure talk about sexual harassment in detail, but I'm trying to present the scenario on harassment in general, how harassment starts in human character and how it is an embodiment of human character. And when this kind of behavior is not addressed early at a young age, then it becomes a problem for the individual, society, and the world at large. Again, going back to harassment, tendency to corner people or to intimidate anyone whom they regard as weak, not strong enough to stand up to them. The bullies don't really have any courage. Just said, you know, they are basically cowards. Bullies exhibit machoism, the masculine trait that they are very proud of, and they also want to be recognized as powerful, dominant figures in the domain. Another thing, harassers also have big ego. Ego is self-destructive. Ego, in a way, is a personality disorder, in my view. Those who have big ego, they are often overwhelmed by their own ego and behave in a way that ultimately comes back to haunt them. Ego is a sign of overconfidence, condescendence towards others, and the attitude they are parallel to none. Then there is envy. Those who are envious of others' success, progress, they tend to have a humongous ego as well. There is the combination of self-centeredness, egotism, envy, makes them prejudiced towards others, and they also have the potential to harass others. Individuals with such qualities, they miscalculate or they are not very good at evaluating own personality. They tend to conceive such attributes as a matter of pride, when in fact they are weaknesses. That in itself is a sign of misconception and deception. The harassers adopt different techniques and tactics to harass people. As I mentioned in my earlier segment, the motorist harassing another motorist on the freeway, highway, in order to overtake that vehicle ahead of him or her. Then they use that tailgating as the tactic to make the motorist move over to another lane, when they could very well do it if they are in such a big hurry. But they know that, you know, they don't want to take a chance. So they insist the motorist in front of them to make that dangerous move so they can continue on that lane. This kind of harassment falls in the category of road rage. Those who are speeding while they're driving and they really don't want to accommodate traffic on the road and freeway and highway they are on, and they want to exhibit their importance, even you know, when they are sharing a public road and you know, facility. So this is something that is a common experience. Harassment is no stranger when it comes to financial dealings. The lender to borrower, when the borrower defaults on payments or when there are any delinquencies on the account, the lenders hiring debt collectors and agencies who specialize in recovering payments. You know, that the methods that are adopted in contact and the way they approach the debtors, the customers, often, you know, there are signs of harassment that cannot be understated as well. And it goes the other way as well, and people who owe money to others and when they have no intentions of returning the money, and you know, they also tend to hire legal professionals or whatever mechanisms they have, they apply that to you know, keep the creditors at bay. So harassment is very common in financial dealings, as I just said, and you know, it works both ways, and it flows in both directions. And then the other kind of harassment is when there are you know, issues concerning public figures, celebrities, anyone influential in society. The matter regarding any of their involvement and actions known to journalists and people with knowledge about their engagement are subject to harassment in resistance to public disclosure. How about media and entertainment industry having become the prominent medium to vilify, demonize, and degrade their target? This is the current trend practiced with passion in the hope the target would disappear, and they also want to teach a lesson to anyone who attempts to speak the truth, present facts, and reveal, you know, the situation as it is. as I have said all along, and I maintain what I have said up until now, media and entertainment industry, communication outlets are controlled by those exerting authority in world affairs. Should anyone be surprised, the secret society meetings held in secret locations involving decisions about the destiny of more than 7 billion people on the planet, apparently not relevant to media and the entertainment industry. Harassment is not always gender-based or biased. Harassment from the same gender is prevalent in society. Women harassing other women. This is the social dilemma faced by many women in different parts of the world. The domestic violence, for instance, is predominantly emanating from a woman to another woman in developing nations. And that happens in the so-called developed part of the world as well. So this is not something that is associated with economic status. This is an individual characteristic, and that is witnessed in social sphere. And this is something that is a predicament for a woman experiencing issues generated by the same gender. They are not domestic violence alone. This is also witnessed in workforce, in other areas of engagement where a woman tries to dominate or displace another woman. But then, as I said, you know, harassment is not necessarily gender or specific type oriented. This is an individual problem, a personality disorder, and that is seen in both men and women. Women trying to exert their matriarchal position in a family, or women who consider themselves highly educated or more affluent than others. And then there is also a caste issue in a society like India. Harassment originates from complex, superiority complex. Then superiority complex, as I have stated earlier, emanates from inferiority complex and deep insecurity. Those who feel inadequate, regardless of their achievements or status they have, you know, they always feel dissatisfied. They're not content with themselves, and they continue to compare their position with others. And in self-consolation, they try to portray and project others as inferior to them. It's basically their own inferiority that makes them behave as such, and they conceal that inferiority tendency as superiority complex. And then there are those who have the attitude that I am better than you, I am more educated than you are, I am better looking than you are, and you know, and in terms of their material possessions, there are also comparisons. So, you know, all of this happens, you know, all the time. Again, you know, this is not gender or society oriented. It's just basically, it's a common trait, a problem in human character. And you come across, you know, these issues and this kind of conduct practically, you know, all over the world. Okay, there is, I don't think there could be any society that can possibly claim that they do not have such individuals among them. If they did, I would say, you know, tell me where you exist, I'll be there. you know, to come and meet those people. I hope you can understand the issue of harassment exists everywhere in society, in daily life, at home, in workplace, wherever they happen to be, when they are traveling or you know, in public premise. I mean, this is an ongoing, persistent issue. Harassment is also seen among animals. When animals, when they find another animal to be an introvert or someone who is less intimidating, the ones who are more aggressive, they tend to harass those creatures. So, but then, you know, when humans behave as such, it is questionable, given the discriminatory power granted to human beings to distinguish right from wrong. I will account for my personal experience on harassment. This is also going to be revealed in detail in my forthcoming publication. For right now, I would give you a synopsis of my personal experience. But then before I move on to that segment, I would also like to just emphasize on how there is this obsession with sexual harassment. Sexual harassment, without any ambivalence, existed since man and woman came into being. I don't think there could be any skepticism in this regard. The sexual predators, as they are called, and should be if they are targeting not just women, men, and even children for their sexual desire that is obviously uncontrollable. They want to satisfy their lust, which in itself is an illness, and this is a behavioral problem, and threatening anyone considered weak, vulnerable in any society. Such behavior is a criminal offense when anybody from mainstream population is found guilty of such activity. They have to deal with laws. But then what happens to those who are in the position of power and authority, and they are consistently involved in sexual harassment of women and anyone whom they consider a prey to satisfy their sexual desire. Unfortunately, they are granted immunity and they are set free. They are, on the contrary, glorified, honored, even to the extent revered by media and those whom they represent. And this is the irony we are confronted with in the world today. The powerful, the affluent, the influential can get away with anything, and that includes sexual harassment. The powerful and influential commit these crimes with immunity, knowing that they would not be held accountable, no matter what kind of evidences are there. They exercise extreme measures in silencing the victims and those who represent the victims in such incidents. Today in the United States, Congress is in the process of legislating actions against sexual harassment. Is a welcoming gesture, I would say, but then congressional members are, some of them are implicated in this matter. This is no secret, as there have been high profile cases that has come to light, to public knowledge, whether it be Anita Hill and the current serving justice, one of the justices in the Supreme Court of the United States, Clarence Thomas. And on the left, the former president, Bill Clinton, and Monica Lewinsky affair. Again, what happened in both incidents? Neither then nominee to the Supreme Court of the United States, Clarence Thomas, who is now the Justice Clarence Thomas, and the former President of the United States, Bill Clinton, denied having had anything to do with Anita Hill or Monica Lewinsky. And this is what I'm trying to say here. Those in the position of power and authority, when they are exposed of any engagement, it is extremely hard for the victims or the accusers to seek any justice, and for there is no such thing as justice when it comes to the powerful, the influential in society are engaged in such activity and crimes. So today, there is so much hype on sexual harassment. As I just said, sexual harassment has been around ever since man and woman came into being. Sexual harassment is not something that has just emerged all of a sudden from nowhere. And you know, the way there is this pandemonium created on sexual harassment, it is definitely a serious issue, but then, hey, come on, where have you all been? I want to know. You know, as I just quoted, Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas, Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton, and there are many. And what about Miriam Carey, the dental hygienist from Connecticut, who was shot dead at the White House doorstep in October 2013? The African-American mother with a toddler in her car was mercilessly executed in public by White House security personnel acting as the firing squad, firing away at the unarmed individual. The response and reaction to this inhumane termination of life has been extremely disappointing, to say the least. I would have thought organizations like Black Lives Matter would have come forward and demanded justice for this individual, as they have in many other situations. So what I'm trying to say is, whenever there is a high-profile crime, the matter is subjective rather than objective. Nonetheless, sexual harassment is an indecent behavior. It's an embarrassment for anyone who indulge in such incriminating, self-incriminating conduct that deserves impartial, I emphasize impartial and unbiased treatment, regardless of who is involved, whether a politician, a celebrity, or some person from next door in the main street. Let there be laws that are applicable on all. Let there be none held above the law when it comes to sexual harassment or any kind of human rights violations. As for my personal experience, I am continually regarded an individual with no identity. As far as some are concerned, I have been characterized in so many different ways with all negative connotations. That goes without saying, for that is how they want to project me, given the overwhelming love, affection, regard they have for me. What can I say? I am flattered and bowled over by their enormous affection and respect they have for me. Interestingly, I am the maid, the servant. Some characterize me as the patsy, slave, transgender. That is another obsession they have, transgender. And it just goes on and on. And the variety is again, mind-blowing. I have to say that this is something they keep working hard to invent new identity for me. And they are exploiting their creativity and imaginative skills as far as I am concerned. So I'm glad that I'm able to stimulate their imaginative power to come up with the bizarre idea about me and who I am. Some of them even claim to know things that I'm unaware of. So I ask them, what was I doing? Where have I been? The reason I do not know what you know about me is perhaps due to your imagination. This is something that me existing as such, the way you imagine me to be in your fantasy world, in your dreams. That is why I'm aware of your perception about me. Another interesting factor is women. They are volunteers, paid volunteers, may I add, from the entertainment industry, and some of them representing politics are willful representatives of the forces who are consistently and relentlessly engaged in portraying and projecting me to fit their imagination and perception. What are they? To some, I'm a secretary, a slave, a maid, a stewardess, anything that they consider not so impressive, not to be recognized as a respectable position to be in. And on the contrary, I have a lot of respect for people in this line of work. These people are working hard to earn a livelihood and live a life with dignity. Unlike them, living a life premised on evasion, deception, and violation of others' rights, individuality, and freedom. I asked them, then why vent your angst and frustration against me when you have such impression about me? It's because you think I'm a scapegoat and that is a convenient choice. The harassment I face every occasion is not ordinary. I mean from the forces who cry foul on harassment. The contempt and prejudice is not discreet and unprecedented. Interestingly, it is being regarded as a healthy debate, mind you. So I asked them, what about the healthy debates on so many female politicians who have been involved in scandals? Their legacy speaks volume in terms of their criminal activities. Where are the female directors of Indian cinema to portray these female politicians' incredible, scandalous term in office and embarrassing abuse of power? The nuances and insinuations using cinema as pretense, depicting my identity through characters in bad light, is yet another cowardly and unprofessional indulgence from female gender. They are lured with fame and fortune in obliging to orders from male authority with unscrupulous demand. They apparently have no qualms to satisfy these forces and remain submissive to them. At the same time, they also forget they are major impediments to women's progress in society. The close relationship that exists between entertainment industry and politics is no secret. I have highlighted this many times over. Again, the politics dependence on entertainment world and vice versa is proving to be detrimental for any democracy, holding audience hostage to propaganda and misinformation. Hiding behind free speech and disclaimers, cinema is the primary tool for forces to incarcerate anyone they do not approve, especially when they fear they are being a formidable challenge to them and their policy. Otherwise, in the real world, the corruption, political shenanigans, and scandals that is an epidemic in governments and society would be appropriately exposed in the cinema that is now targeting and isolating only those whom they regard as their nemesis, someone they do not agree with and approve of, so they fund projects through media and entertainment to depict people in bad light, especially those whom they disagree with They consider them as the thorn on their side, and they want them to be destroyed and eliminated, if possible, as they have done before with others who had come along to make a positive impact on life and the world at large. As for my experience politically, some female politicians, especially the prominent ones who are regarded seasoned and veteran politicians, when they ran the State Department, the department that handles foreign affairs, when they were in control of that department, their attempts to intervene, intercept, and disrupt the functionality of the website PadminiArhan.com, presenting factual information and truthful articles, were not tolerated. There were considerable gestures that could only be regarded as harassment, besides indecent phone calls and messages from those representing the White House at that time. Similar episode from a figure, a female, though not directly involved in politics, nonetheless, by virtue of being a spouse to a candidate running for presidency of the United States at that time, and then with the prospects of her becoming the first African American to be the first lady of the United States, writing the letter to me, in that letter, demanding that I go door to door and knock on the door and beg for votes on their behalf, was something I thought was incredible in terms of the letter, the way it was worded, and the format, considering the hype that is given to the first lady status, not to mention the decorum and disposition they are expected to maintain with respect and regard for the people they are supposed to represent in the country. To summarize, all that I would say is education, status, power, they are meaningless unless they are able to deliver and demonstrate in values that can only be exemplified in respecting people the way they would like to be respected by them. Sexual harassment and harassment in general to be denounced so that no individual in any part of the world have to face injustice from harassers unable to cope with the inadequacies and deficiencies within. I end this topic by advising those who regard me as nothing, nobody, and a nuisance not to capitalize on my profile and presence, for that would prove them to be nothing more than opportunist. We are not just confronted with gender inequality, we are also expected to contend with the caricature and distortion of anyone regarded a threat to status quo, promoting discriminatory practice and contempt for peace and individual rights. Harassment, whether it be sexual harassment or any other kind of harassment, is to be condemned in no uncertain terms, making the world a fair and better place for all. I'm Padmini Arhant, author and presenter, PadminiArhant.com, spouse in divine mission. I thank you all for your attention and interest, as well as your patience. I will be back with more on other issues and topics, exercising my free speech right. Thank you.